good. There's just no other words to describe it, Lord. You are just good.
Yes.
And everything that you do, everything that you have done, everything that you will do, you are good.
Yes.
And Father, as we come to you today, we ask that you would help us. Help us, Lord, in our frailty. Help us in those weaknesses that we have to draw near to you, Lord. To recognize the warfare that we're in. To recognize, Lord, the incredible battle that's going around every day. And even some of those battles going on within us, Lord. And God, I pray and I ask you today, would you help me to express your heart? And God, would you help us to experience your presence in a fresh way? And would you, God, please draw us near to you. Help us, Lord, to appropriately and passionately love you. Love you, Lord, because you loved us first. And because you're worthy of our love. You're worthy of our adoration. You're worthy of all praise and glory and all thanksgiving. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Usually when it comes to this time of year, looking at Thanksgiving, and I don't want to just go with that because it's that time of year, but we've been looking at, for those who maybe have been out or not been here for a while or have been traveling, we've been looking at prayer, different aspects of prayer, and we were looking at some of the hindrances to prayer, some of the things that stop prayer from being effective. And I think one thing that affects our prayer life is this issue of thankfulness. If the heart is not thankful, it means that the heart is not perceptive. You see, in order to be thankful, genuinely thankful, there must be a perception in your spirit of what God has done, of what he's accomplished. There must be a spiritual perception of the reality of his dealings with us. Now, I want us to look at a passage of scripture. It's out of Luke. And we're just going to wander around there for just a minute, and then we're going to kind of shift and go in a different direction. In Luke chapter 17, in Luke 17, beginning at verse 11, the scripture says, "Now it happened as we went through to Jerusalem that we passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go show yourselves to the priest.' And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet." He fell down on his face at his feet. That should be the position, folks, that we have all the time. On our face. At his feet. Giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Nine out of ten went away healed. Right? But there was one that was healed that came back. Now, in the story, we see that this one is a Samaritan. He's not liked very well by the Jews. Of course, lepers weren't liked very well by anybody. They had to stand afar off from everybody and yell at the top of their lungs when somebody came around, unclean! Unclean! How would you like to walk around all day long, every time you met somebody, having to yell out, unclean! Unclean! Every place you went, every person you met. And the only commonality of relationship and friendship that you had was with a group of people that had the same disease you had. They're the only ones that you didn't have to confess your condition to. They were the only ones you could be real with and let them know how you really felt. But this one man came back. Now, they were all healed, all 10 of them. All of them were cleansed. But only one of them, if you look down at the latter part of verse 19, Jesus says, your faith has made you well. Well, what about the other nine? Weren't they well? Well, on the outside, yeah. On the outside, everything looked fine. On the outside, they were cleansed of their leprosy. They were made whole. But one was made well. And that was well on the inside. You know, we sing that song sometimes, it is well with my soul. For to be well with your soul, you have to know that your soul has been touched by God. You have to know that your soul is at peace with God. You have to know that your soul has a sense of security and rest. Now, nine of them went away, didn't even say thank you. Now, for some reason, I just cannot fathom that. I can't fathom that here's a person that has a disease that alienated you from everyone, that rotted your fingers and your toes away, your hands, your ears, your nose, your face. Parts of your body would just begin to rot and stink. And as they go away, they're healed of that, made whole from that. I can't imagine how could they leave and begin to go and not even see as they're going that they're made whole. And what is it in them that doesn't want to come back and even say anything to Jesus? How hard can a heart be that can be touched in such a way and at the same time just walk away without even a thank you? In this passage of Scripture, we see one man who's not only a leper, but he's a Samaritan leper. Talk about being doubly hated. And then he comes back to Jesus and he bows down before him. He prostrates himself before Jesus. He is so overwhelmed by what's taken place. And he recognizes not just that he's been healed, but he recognizes who Jesus is. They all cried out, Master, but only one of them really lived as though he was a master. The rest went away as though he was just a benefactor. The rest went away as though they just received something, and that's great. Maybe they thought they deserved it. I don't know why they went away. I don't know why they didn't come back. But this man understands he's received something. And when he called him master, it was really master. I guess that's the difference. A lot of us call Jesus Lord, but do we come before him? Are we before him with thanksgiving? Are we before him with such gratitude? And not just at certain times. It's easy many times for us to give thanks to the Lord when we see something powerful happen. But you know, we should be giving thanks to the Lord every day of our life, because something powerful has happened. And it not only happened back in the future, not just when Jesus died on the cross, not just when the Holy Spirit touched your life and you were made aware of Christ's death and his sacrifice for you, and you were made aware of your sin, and you were made aware of your standing before God that did not exist, that you had no standing, that I had no standing. That we had nothing. Empty. Nothing. Nothing to stand on. No sure footing. None of us had a sure footing before God. None of us had anything before God. And Christ came and gave his life for us. And he gave us his Holy Spirit. And he gave us a mission. And he gave us the power to live for him. This one man comes back and he gives genuine thanks. Genuine thanks. Now, I hear a lot of times where people thank God, and that's between them and God, whether it's genuine or real or not real. But I hear people thank God sometimes, and you know, I'm human, just like you. How many of you are human? Okay, I'm in a crowd that I can relate to and they can relate to me. How many times you hear people pray and you just wonder, is that real? That's not judging anybody's prayer, but you just wonder, how can a person who's been touched by the eternal God give thanks in such a shallow way? I mean, how can a person that's been radically changed from a person that was dead in trespasses and sin to now a person who's alive by the Spirit, how can they genuinely sound so ungrateful? Thanks, God. This man, when he bowed at Jesus' feet, he was probably the most sincere person that was around Jesus during those days. Besides the publican that was in the temple, standing close to a Pharisee who said these words, I thank you, God, that I'm not like other people. Problem was, he was like other people. And the publican was the guy who was despised, kind of like a Samaritan leper. He's a tax collector that nobody likes. He's got a reputation that stinks. And yet he comes into the presence of God in the temple and all he can do is beat himself on the breast and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. At the same time, the self-righteous man is standing over there and he's saying, I thank you, God, that I'm not like this guy. That's what I mean by thanksgiving, that it's offered up, but it's not genuine. It's not real. Oh, it may have felt real to this guy. He may have sensed, yeah, I'm grateful I'm not like him. But was it thankfulness to God or was it just arrogant pride? Thanksgiving. Gratitude is good for our hearts, folks. Do you know how many times, and I haven't counted it up, but do you know how many times it talks in the Scripture about giving thanks? I want to just walk through some stuff with you. If you would, look at Revelation. Revelation, the book of Revelation. By the way, it is the book of Revelation, not the book of Revelations. Just so you know, because It is the book of Revelation, singular. Revelation chapter 5. And I'm going to begin reading around verse 11. Actually, I'm going to begin a little bit further up. Verse 8. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Isn't that interesting? In heaven, there's bowls that are filled with incense, and that incense is representative of the prayers of the saints. I want to think about this for a second. The prayers that the people of God pray are sweet before the Lord. They're an incense to Him. I'm not going to comment on this, but it seems to me that if we understand that in heaven our prayers are before the Lord and it's sweet to Him. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Man, that sounds like something to be grateful for. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Now, let me tell you what Thanksgiving is all about. I'm not talking about the holiday. I'm talking about the practice. The practice of Thanksgiving is this. It's spiritually recognizing and perceiving the activities of heaven. Let me give that to you again. It's spiritually realizing and recognizing the activities of heaven. You say, well, what does that have to do with Thanksgiving? In heaven, the one reality is God. I mean, God is God, and God is in heaven. God is on His throne. God is not changed where He is. He's not changed His character. The Lord is lifted up on high. And in heaven, every creature recognizes both His authority, His holiness, and His perfections. Every creature recognizes the worthiness of the Lamb. There's none that does not recognize that. Not one. And when we give thanks to God, what we're saying is, God, I am recognizing the realities of heaven, that the blessings that come to me now, whatever those blessings might be, the situations that arise in my life, whatever those situations are governed by your sovereign hand. That I have what I have because you're a God who is good, and you're my Father, and you provide for me. That you are worthy and that you make no mistakes, that you are all-knowing. There's not something that's come into my life that's that somehow escaped your attention, that somehow it just got past you, it was kind of snuck around you. There's nothing, Lord, that's taken place in my life without your sovereign hand overseeing it. And I recognize, Lord, that everything that I have has come from you. Everything. Marriage, family, food, health, strength. Whatever I have has come from you. Difficulties? Oh, yeah, I have an enemy. Sure, I have an enemy. So do you. He walks around seeking who he might devour. That's our enemy. That doesn't do away with saying that Satan somehow doesn't affect things. But listen, why do we always focus on Satan instead of our God? Why do we always want to do spiritual warfare by battling against the enemy instead of seeing the one who is for us and not against us? Why are we always looking at the one who's trying to destroy us? Now, that doesn't mean that you ignore him, but you have to put it in the proper perspective. See, if your perspective is on the King who reigns, who is eternal, then, and he's the one who will put down all enemies, all authority, anything that is trying to come against him, the Lord sits in heaven and he laughs at the foolishness of men who try to shake their fist in his face and try to say that I am the ruler of my own destiny. He laughs. And if I'm going to give thanks properly to the Lord, I have to recognize things as they really are, not as I wish they were. You know why many times we don't give thanks? Because there are things that we wish were different. And because they're not different, how can I give thanks? Our brother read a scripture earlier, Psalm 137. You have to take context of this. Is they're in Babylon. They've been taken into captivity. The people of God are in captivity, living there because of their rebellion and disobedience to God. They're sitting by the river. I think it says Cheshu in the Old King James. The river Cheshu, isn't that what it was? No, I'll catch you later on for that. Anybody have an Old King James version and read Psalm 137? Does it say that in there? By the rivers of Babylon. See if it has a footnote. Okay. Yeah, there's more than one river over there. But here's the thing. The reason they're there is because God has tried to bless them and they kept walking in disobedience. Finally, he says, you know, you guys are hard-headed and you're going to go into captivity. You're going to be there for 70 years because you won't recognize my authority. You won't recognize me as God. You want to have other gods. You want to have other passions for your life. You want to have other things instead of me. And so, okay, this is what life is like without me. That's what God is saying to them. This is like what life is like without me. Without me being your Lord, without me being the one who's guiding you. Now, he was still guiding them. But they tasted what life was like without him directing their lives. With him being distant. Now, he's not really distant. He's always there. Some of us have felt the distance of God at times. They felt the distance of God. And when their captors tried to tell them, hey, give us a song. Sing one of those nice, pretty little ditties from your hometown. From the mountain of Zion, the place where your God resides. Sing one of those worship songs, those happy songs to us. And their reply is, how can we sing the Lord's song? How can we sing in this place? When we're in captivity, how can we sing the Lord's song? You say, what does that have to do with thanksgiving? The heart that's in bondage does not sing the Lord's song. The heart that's in bondage does not give thanks, because the heart that's in bondage just wants their needs met according to their ways and their will. The heart that's in bondage doesn't look to the sovereign God who's leading them and directing them and over them and caring for them and supplying for them. The heart that's in bondage is in bondage because they've refused to recognize the realities of heaven. And thanksgiving is all about that. Thanksgiving is coming to God in your simple state, broken state, messed up state, and saying, God, you can fix this. You've already provided the fix for this. In your Son, in the power of your Spirit, you've provided for my care. That I can thank you in any situation, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. I want to look back in Revelation to another passage of Scripture for just a minute. Just look at Revelation 11, if you would, for a minute. Revelation chapter 11. Now, obviously, in Revelation, there's a lot of interpretation you have to have, but this doesn't need a lot of interpretation. Then this is verse 15. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets, and the saints, those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth. You say, what does that have to do with Thanksgiving? Thanksgiving is supposed to be a happy time. Listen, the happy time for me is this. When the all-loving, all-knowing, all-gracious, all-powerful God says, enough wickedness. Enough wickedness. And he puts down all rule and all authority. And it all comes under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Now I want you to notice the reality of heaven. When God's righteous judgment comes, when God deals with the sinful hearts of men, because they have refused him and rejected him and shaken their fist in his face, when finally he says, this is enough, all those who see the reality of who God is in his righteousness and in his beauty say, thank you, God. They don't question his motives. They don't say, God, I think you may have hurried this up too soon, or maybe, no, it's, Lord, you do all things well. Thank you, God. And so for me, Thanksgiving is not about turkey. I mean, I like the turkey. I love the dressing. And Thanksgiving is not about having family over. Matter of fact, how many of you have family over and then you wonder why you did it? Nah, we love having family. But it's not about that stuff, folks. It's not about all the stuff that we associate with Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is all about the realities of heaven. And see, when we are blessed in any manner, That's the reality of heaven. That's the God that we love and that serves. We serve him. I'd like us to do something for just a minute. I'm going to give you a prepper. How many of you have ever thanked God for creating you? Some of you have said probably, why did you create me? Some of us have complained about being created by God. Some of us thought he made a mistake. I want to give you time to think of some things. First of all, in Genesis 1:27, it says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. A handiwork of God. How many of you, within the last month, just simply said to God, thank you, God, for creating humanity. Thank you for creating me. He didn't have to create humanity. He chose to create humanity so we could have relationship with him, so that human beings could have fellowship with a holy God who does not need us, but desires us. He has a passion for us. How many of you thank God for choosing you? Ephesians 1:4, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. If you're saved, that means that you are chosen in Christ, and that was before the foundation of the world. So I don't understand all that. You don't have to understand it. God, in your wisdom and in the majesty of who you are, you chose out a people for yourself. I can't understand that, God. I don't know how it works. I don't know all the ins and outs of that, but God, I'm yours because you are the one who initiated this. I belong to you, Lord, because you saw what you wanted to do. And it wasn't because of anything good in me at all. It's all because of your goodness that I can even have a relationship with you. Thank you, God. Have you ever looked at Psalm 56:9? The psalmist said this I know for sure, that God is for me. God is for me. If you belong to Christ, God is for you. He's not against you. He's for you. He not only goes before us, he is for us. How about this one? 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Why? Why did Jesus become sin for us? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God, I thank you, Jesus, that you came and you took upon yourself my sin. All the ugliness, all the filthiness, all the vileness. You took all the wrath upon yourself. And you gave me your righteousness. I thank you, Lord, that I stand before you not clothed with the filthy rags, which are all only things that I had to give, but I stand before you in the righteousness of your Son because of your great love. Listen, go back and find out what heaven says about you. Find out what heaven says about who you are in Christ and what he has done for you. Find out what heaven says about relationships. Find out what heaven says about the church. So many times we're grumbling and we're complaining about church. I'm not talking about here. I'm talking about Christians. People who name the name of Jesus are always finding fault with the church. Jesus died for the church. He died for a people who call him Lord and live as though he's Lord. What God wants us to do is give him thanks that he has the very idea of the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones. And if we would find ourselves giving thanks for that instead of griping and complaining and finding fault. Are there faults within the church? Sure. Are there faults within my marriage? Sure. I mean, it's all on her side, but no. You know when I joke with about Sherry, she and I, it's good. I am such a blessed man. I really am. But you are too. Yeah, I won't. You won't let me know. But I'm such a blessed man. But you're blessed too. You're blessed with the blessings of heaven. But you'll only see those properly in perspective as you look to the Lord. Because if you look at your present situation, if you look at your present life, what's going on around you right now, you could be so discouraged in some situations. That's why people give up. That's why people sometimes throw up their hands, because they see what's in front of them. And they say, why go on? But if all you see is what's in front of you instead of what's above you, you'll walk in ungratitude, unbelief, frustration, an angry spirit. But when you look to Him and see the reality of heaven, you can't do anything. You can't help but give thanks. And thanks cures a lot of stuff, folks. It does what it did to that leper. It made him well, really well inside. Would you stand with me and pray? One of the brothers wanted to give a testimony about something, but I think we're going to wait until next week and do that next week, because I think it's more appropriate to do that. I'm going to ask the worship team, if you can, come on up, guys. My wife and I were talking earlier. That's always a nice thing to do with your wife. And actually, it was last night, and she says, well, you know, why don't you call Autumn and ask her about doing a song? And I thought, no, you know, I try to let the team do what God puts on their heart, and it's amazing to me how things gel. And the song was the last song that we sang earlier. We were talking about that last night. And I thought, you know, let the Lord put it together, and He did. I think it's appropriate for us to sing it again, because this is where our heart should really reside, folks, right here in this place. Lord, thank You for this time together as we sing this song of worship. God, may our hearts be overflowing with gratitude. Yes. And may we sing with all the breath that You've given to us, Lord, because You're worthy of all honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.